about to embark upon our next sugya. This may be the last sugya for this man, to be determined, but we'll see what happens. So we left off. The Gemara was talking about how many dayanim do we need for a get, but a very, very specific kind of a get that's going to have tacked onto it, the fine nechta. So this was part of the two sugyas ago. As to, well, wait a second, forget about the fancy schmancy get. What about a regular get? What have the bays in there? So we had an array of different opinions to answer that question. Either you see from here there's no din of bazin, or maybe this is a get of an arusa, or maybe a bazin of one would normally be good enough. So we had a whole spectrum of different answers to that question. But assuming that there is a din bazin here, that's the Gemara says, Beferish, there is a din bazin here, how many dayanim are going to be on this bazin? So the Gemara says, how many dayanim? You have to have about three dayanim. So the Gemara says, well, not so simple. Maybe the shaliach could wear two hats. Maybe the shaliach could be both an aid and a dayan. The Gemara says, what? Are you crazy? Aid and a dayan? That's ridiculous. Why is it so ridiculous? Lifnei Hashem and Biyaman Chilon, Eshelech Lazim. I think we spent 1 or 2 days talking about that in the past as well. So we know the starting point is aid and a dayan. The Gemara says, but wait a second. Come on, relax. This is not real dinim. This is dinim banan. This is kim shtaris. Come on. B'drabban aid nasadayan. So therefore, notwithstanding the din min haTorah of Ein Eid Nasadayan, we would have been okay with two independent dayanim here. Put the shliach into the mix, and al zeh nemar shlosh eidim, ashalav shlosh dayanim. Good, we would have been good. The Gemara is taka right that three really don't mean three. 2 plus 1 is good enough. And shalmei so. So why does one Amira disagree? Because in the back of our mind, we're worried about the following terrible thing happening. It could be that the person who's going to be the shaliach, by golly, is going to be someone who is not fit to be a dayan. And if that's the case, then if the beis din just, you know, they take out their book, the Hamadrich, that says, how many judges do you need? Two. So, and use the shaliach. So they're not going to chab, they're going to forget that this particular shaliach is not going to fit to sit in this beis din. So to avoid any problems, any confusions, a light plug, let's get three independent people. But the emes is that everyone agrees really two is good enough, plus the shaliach, but it's a gezeira. And the other day, I said, the gezeiras, these are smart dayanim. Stam, Migba, Gemira, come on. Guys are passing, getting shalas. They don't know the ABCs that this person is supposed to be a dayan. And therefore, there's nothing to worry about. So that was a very, very technical machlekes of Yechon, Rabbi Chanina, of the details of the details of the details. We find this very often that we make a lot of fuss out of machlekes. We think that everything's machlekes. The emphasis is that 99.99% of the Torah is takanat machlekes. It's just that we spend most of our time talking about the machlekes. That's where the labor, that's where the excitement is. But ruva of the dinim or muskam, everybody agrees that you have to say b'fayinechem. Everyone agrees it's the din derabanan. Everyone agrees that there's a din in a Torah of lishma, and everyone agrees you need eidim, and everyone agrees to all these halachas. And everyone agrees there was a takana sacham b'fayinechem. I'm not sure why they made the takana, but everyone agrees there's such a takana. Nobody, we didn't find any tana ever that denied this takana. And everyone agrees that the b'fayin nechtav has to be said in the presence of a beis din. And everybody agrees that a beis din means three. And everybody agrees that ein eid nasadayin. But everybody agrees that by derabbanan's eid is nasadayin. And now the machlokes is, tachlis, should two be a good enough, should we make a gezeira? So Rabbi Yechanan, the first generation Amoroim sitting in Eretz Yisrael, fighting about this detail, should be detail, should be detail, should be detail. And now we have a whole sugya because of that. But 99% of the background material, everybody agreed to. So what is this grandiose chashash? What is going to go wrong? What is this terrible, terrible calamity going to happen? Who is going to bring this get? Who's going to throw everything off? So the Gemara says as follows. The Gemara says, El b'hokam b'fugi, the first of the Mamakamis, the Mar Savar, came in the Ishak Sheir Lahavi Yasaget, Zimnin de Maisel Isusa Vesamchi Allah. Vidach, Isha made the Yadol Samchi Allah. Come on, the other day it says, no one's going to make such a silly mistake. Everyone's going to realize that this is no good. So who are we afraid is going to bring it? Isha. Right? Isha. Anyone want to translate Isha? Anyone want to put an English word in front of it? A woman. Not woman. A woman. Anisha. Whoever she is. Anisha. Says Taisus, Hachi Gersh Rebbe Tam. That was Rebbe Tam's Girsa. Whenever you see a Rishon that says that, what's your immediate reaction? You see a Rishon that says, Hachi Gersh. What does that mean?
Multiple Girsas.
That means there was another Girsa out there. The Rishonim don't say, Be'emesai Karn, ooh, Hochi Garcinan. Everyone had the same words. I may forget, oh, Hochi Garcinan. Rishonim only say Hochi Garcinan when they were fully aware of the fact that there was another text out there that may have been off by a word, by a letter, by a nuance, by something, and they want to quickly highlight that this is the correct Girsa. So Barab Ben Etam saying those words, Hochi Garcinan, Ben Etam, you know that he had something else on his table that he was rejecting. Barab Ben Etam continues. Came in the Ishak Shalavis again. Zimn de Maisle, this is of Chaim Pirsha Ben Chanana. What didn't have much the name of Zimn de Maisle de Karav? The Yemen says the Gemara could have said a Karav also, but said Isha. Isha was just an example, Isha Bechule. What was the altered Girsa out there? So the Tosis Rid, people sometimes think the Tosis Rid was one of the Balei Tosis. But Tosis Rid lived in Italy, in Oshach, the Balei Tosis. He is a different world. The Tosis Rid represents what the other Girsa was. He was a Rishon, the other Rishonim, Rabbi Yeshaya. He presents what the other Girsa was. So the third of my Mekayim is, Ela Hachbach HaVigli, Mar Sava Keva De Isha Atzma Levi Agita. What are we afraid of, says the Tosis Rid? The Mishnah says later on that even the woman herself can be the Shaliach. It's a very, very mundane kind of Shaliach. What's mundane about it? What's mundane about it? When she got it, wasn't she already divorced? What do you mean she's Mevias Aget? Mevias Aget means that we're coming to Beis Din to present us a get. The Beis Din has to decide, should we accept this get or not? So we insist that the Shaliach says, Fainach, Fainach, I'm here. If the woman herself is walking around with a get, I mean, she was already disgarsha. So the answer is, no, she wasn't. She's only a Shaliach. How is she only a Shaliach? Because when the husband gave her the get, he said, I don't want to give the get right now. I want you to be the Shaliach to bring the get to who? To yourself in front of Beis Din. So it's a very mundane shlichus. The Gemara has a whole pimple about this at the end of the second parak. What kind of crazy shlichus is this? But you have the possibility that the woman is walking into Beis Din as a shliach, Mrs. Plainness, and saying, let me tell you a little bit about my own personal get. So says to Tosis Rid, if that woman will turn around and sit on the court, that will be a royal disaster. Why? She can be on the court for her own get. What's that a gross violation of? What is she? Give me a psul. Even worse, come on. She's a baldover, right? No gavlov flesh. She's a baldover. That's like saying, I'm going to sit on my own case. I broke somebody's window, I'm going to judge the case right now. Well, you judge the case, you're a baldover. So Tosis Rid said that was what the Gemara was concerned about. It's a mundane pshat, no? It's a very, very strange pshat. Why did this Rid have to go down that route of Isha Atzma? What was wrong with Rabbeinu Tam? Rabbeinu Tam's shabbos so much easier. Rabbeinu Tam has the girsa, the Isha, a Isha, and there's really the girsa, Isha Atzma. He had the word Atzma, Rabbeinu Tam. That was the word Atzma that Rabbeinu Tam rejected. Rabbeinu Tam knew that in Italy they had the girsa. He said, in France we don't read that word. We read the word Isha, not Isha Atzma. According to Tosis Rid, it's the woman. According to Rabbeinu Tam, it's a woman. What was wrong with Rabbeinu Tam's psha? What does Tosis Rid seem to be implying? That if it would be just a Pastama woman, what would it then be? It would be hunky-dory. Everything would be great. What's hunky-dory? It's hunky-dory. Well, what? It's a problem. It's a huge problem that Tosis Rid's pshat. Why? Because you're going to tell me Tosis Rid really meant that if a regular woman is sitting on a Beis Din, forget, that's okay. It's just Isha Atzma that we're concerned about. A regular woman's going to sit in a Beis Din? A regular woman is a Dayenet? She's a Shofetet? Is that what the Tosis Rid is saying? What's the answer? Probably. That's what Tosis Rid says. Tosis Rid seems to be presenting that view that we state that a woman can't be a dayan. Go show me a Mishnah. Go show me a Gemara. I challenge you, says the Tosis Rid, find me a Gemara, find me a Maimon Chazal that disqualifies a woman from being a dayan. There's no such Maimon Chazal. So again, I'm not sitting in Italy. I'm not in the city of Trani, from the Rabbi Yeshayim Trani, but the Tosis is Rid. I'm not in his yeshiva. I wouldn't understand the Shir in Italian either. But he's telling you that the Girsa is Atzma, implying that if it wouldn't be Atzma, it would be okay. And we're saying, Mr. Stoma, the reason why the Tosis is Rid did prefer that Girsa and rejected Rabbi Tam's Girsa without the word Atzma is because the Tosis is Rid really believed that a woman would be shared to be a Dayanet. So we have a major machlokes now between Tosis and Tosis is Rid. Between Rabbi Tam and Tosis is Rid. I'm showing our page. But of all places, would have ever expected that the Rabbeinu Tam is saying a woman is not shy for a woman to be a dayan. Was he crazy out of your mind that a woman's going to be a dayan? And Tosis Rid said, yeah, it's okay, no problem. Woman could be, show me why is there a problem? because it's quite a loaded topic. I don't mean loaded politically, and you know, I'm not interested. That's nonsense. We're not interested in that. We want to learn the sugya from Gemara, from Mishnah. We don't care about what they say in the blogs today. We want to know what Hakadosh Baruch Hu has to say, not what every Tom, Dick, and Harry has to say. So what are the din? What is halacha? What's the sugya say to us? So where would we begin to search in Chazal to find the answer to this question? Is woman share woman sula? We're right. There's no Gemara. So we have to start to find Gemaras. We have to start to create the Yukim and Gemaras to try to figure out. So there are two sugyas that seem to bear down on this, each one of them not convincing, and it sets the stage for this Machlokes Rebbeinu Tam that this is read. So one is the Mishnah Maseches Nida. So the Mishnah Maseches Nida, all the Rishayim quote, there's a Mishnah Nida, I think Tosfos quotes it in the sixth of Maimon Kaimis. The Mishnah Nida says the following phrase, called a kosher ladun, kosher lahaid. Aval yesh kosher lahaid, shepasul ladun. It's like a little bit of a challenge. The Mishnah, why is the Mishnah telling us stories about Edis and Dayanam and Nida for no reason? There was a whole style of Mishnayas like that. It's like, you know, remember the Ein Bains and Megillah? Sometimes you get a Mishnah that is relevant for that topic, and then as a mnemonic device, Chazal will lump together all the other dinim that sound that way. So here also, there's a kol kosher this, is posel that, kol posel that, kosher this. So there's a whole slew of Mishnayas in Nida that started out with something relevant to Nida, and then they talk about kol tarkula. So tucked away at those Mishnayas is kol kosher ladun, kosher lahaid, v'yesh kosher lahaid, she'eino kosher ladun. So it comes to us and says, wait a second. Kola kosher ladun, kosher la'id. So I challenge you. If you think that women are ksheres ladun, I'm going to play with you a little bit. If you think in Italy that women are ksheres ladun, you had a gear to isha atzva because you think that women, a woman would be ksheres ladun. By definition, what must you say? If you really truly believe that a woman is ksheres to be a dayan, by extension, what must you say? Kola kosher what? So then you must conclude that a woman is kasherah to be an aid. That is dead wrong. There is nobody under the sun that says that. It's a Mishnah in Masechah Shavuos in the fourth parak. The Mishnah says that the parasha Shavuos Ha'edus doesn't apply to women. Remember we said, if I come to you and I say, you were there when Reuben broke my window, I'm insisting that you come and be made. And you say, no, I don't know anything about it. You take a Shavuos, you don't know anything about it. And you're lying through your teeth, you have to bring a carbon Shavuos Ha'edus. The Mishnah says that Shavuos Ha'edus Ha'eges Ba'anoshim V'lo Dinoshim. He asks the Gemara, why not? Gemara says, B'ru'im L'hoyda Kosa B'damer. The Pasuk's talking about someone who should come to Beis Din, will be accepted and believed in Beis Din. La'afuke, if he wouldn't be believed anyway. So I go to my own father and I say, I insist, Dad, you come and testify for me. And the father says, no, I'm not going to. And he swears he doesn't know anything, and he's lying. So there's no Shavuos Ha'edus. It's a terrible avera that he did, but he doesn't bring a carbon. Why? Because he couldn't have been made anyway. So Shavuos Ha'edus, the carbon Shavuos Ha'edus is reserved for a person who could have been made. So the Mishnah says, "Banoshim v'banoshim," says Gemara not immediately, because women are psulos lahoid. What's the makor? Va'amdua shnei hanoshim and noshim below. Noshim. So women are psulos lahoid. Lace man the poly goes out. It's the nimnu v'gabes halacha. It's the din. Lishim sofek. The women are psulos lahoid. So comes Taisus and says, "Hey, wait a second. We're going to play with you a little bit. If you're going to tell me that a woman is kshera to be a dayan, so then you have to plug in the Mishnah Maseches Nida, kolakosher ladun, kosher lahayid, which would lead you to conclude women are ksheres lahayid, which is wrong. It's an absurd conclusion, an impossible conclusion. So what can we derive from that impossible conclusion? That women cannot be possibly be dayan. That's a proof. What's that called in geometry? It's not a reverse, transverse, upside down. So it's one of those things in logic that does work, actually. Some of those don't work necessarily, but this Taka does, right? Exactly. LSATs, you have this kind of thing. This is a good proof. Is that transverse? Transverse is A equals B, B equals C, A equals C. It's a different property. I forgot what this is called. It's called an inverse, reverse, untraverse, I don't know, something kind of a proof. I forgot. So the bias, the bottom line is that it works. So how could anybody argue with this? What are we wasting our time with? It's Sunday, we should let everyone go home already and start chazing for the bechino. Why are we wasting our time in the sugya? Isha k'sheir ladun. It's a fresh mission. So Taisa says, no, yesh t'chis. Could be if you kvetch long enough, you can get out of this raya. How can you kvetch? Kol ha kosher ladun kosher loy. Kol. Hakol, mikol, kol. Kol means some people. It doesn't mean every single person. It means all men. It means, Taisus quotes the possibility that the cloud, the Perek Basivin, be Ish Ayrik, Klemar, Kol Isha Koshlo, the Koshlohoid. Doesn't mean every single person. It means all men who are Ksherim to be Dayonim, or Ksherim to be Edim. Are there some people who are Ksherim to be Dayonim, not Ksherim to be Edim? Yeah, women. So Taisus says that we're not 1,000% of it. 99% of the Rishonim were 1,000% convinced. They thought this Mishnah was a slam dunk. And others said it's a dish slam dunk. It's a three-pointer. It's not a slam dunk. That's not the end all. It could be. Could be. It's right. But it's not an absolute ironclad proof. And therefore, some Rishonim were still willing to play this game. Not a game. They really held this way. The women share a slam dunk. Okay. So do we have any other Gemaras that are not slam dunks? So there's a whole combination of a whole bunch of different Gemaras. So Taisus and Gittin walks you through all the sugyas. They're basically two sugyas that converge together. Both sugyas revolve around the same word. Ve'eila mishpat v'shatosim lifneim. So what does that pasuk mean? Shatosim. We spoke about that pasuk once or twice this year. Ve'eila mishpat v'shatosim lifneim. Why does it say tosim? What's about tosim? So Tosis quotes, that means declare dayonim. Pasuk's talking about dayonim. It's a tosim lifneim, kfiya, dayonim. So Rashi and Chumash quotes a different shot. What does Tosim mean? So Rashi gives a mashal. It means to place. You have to place the Ritter. When you have to meet them, so you have to place the Ritter. You don't teach them. You have to place it in front of them. What does that mean? So Rashi uses a mashal. He says, Keshukhan Aruch. Rashi lived 300 years before the Shukhan Aruch. What is that name? Rashi already patented the name. Keshukhan Aruch. The Rashi says, when you teach Tamidim, so it's not enough just to teach them. You have to place it down in front of them. It has to be like a Shulchan Aruch, like someone that they know where everything is. If a guy comes out of Shir and he doesn't know where anything is, it's a flagin. Shir is one big chulot. He remembers it's the Taisdiyah Ramah. They can't make any sense of it. So then that's not Shetot. That's Talamde. Nishkin Tosim. Tosim means everything's got to be in the right place. All the pieces of the puzzle have to be connected. You have to figure out the Sugya Mitchila B'Yatsoif. So comes the Tarshim HaPeh and says, Ashetosetem, who are the Lifneim exactly? Can someone to tell me who in this room is included in Lifneim, who is not included in Lifneim? So there's a Gemara that we talked about earlier this year in Gittin Peches, where the Gemara says that this is the Mokor for who are kosher to be Dayanim and who are not kosher to be Dayanim. So who are two groups of individuals who are excluded from this phrase of Ashetas and Lifneim? Hediyah, this guy's not the son of the Sbicha Meshaben, he's excluded, which opens up that loaded question, how do we have Dinei Torah, Banazesh, Chusayu, and, you know, Hefker, and Hefker, and we spoke about Be'arichos. Who else? What? Goyim, right? Arkos, that's the source, you're not allowed to go to Arkos, I'll go to Goyisha courts. So that's, those are also excluded. So you see that the Teshuva Pechazal took this pasuk, this word, Lifneim, very seriously, that Lifneim are referring to the Dayanim. They're included in the parsha from the flame includes the yon. There is a Gemara in Bava Kamma in the first parak that says that how do you know that dinei mamonos apply equally to men and women? How do you know that if there's a din Torah between a man and a woman, so it's governed by the same rules? Bechel Memker and Mazik v'Nizich v'Nechbol, there's no difference in men and women in terms of dinei mamonos. How do you know that? It's the Gemara's kasha. How do you know that? So it's a funny kasha. Why would I thought there should be a difference? But the Maaseh Gemara wants to know. But not immediately that there's no difference. Clearly there's no difference. So the Gemara quotes a whole array of different psukim to teach that. So one of the Mekairis tucked away that sukim that is involved in Bava Kamma is Ve'el Mishpat V'Shatosim Lefneim. Lefneim is Lashon Rabbim. Who was Moshe Rabbeinu talking to? Because some of the Siach was talking to them. Everyone came to the Shia. The men, the women, everyone who's not listening. Moshe Rabbeinu say Ve'el Mishpat V'Shatosim Lefneim. So Lefneim refers to the men and to the women. So came a group of Rishonim and said, hey, wait a second, hold the phone here. On the one hand, we're saying Lifneim refers to only Kosher Dayanim, and now we're saying that Lifneim refers to men and women equally, because that's the source that men and women have equal footing in Dinei Torah. So if you put these two Gemaras together, what conclusion do you draw? Yeah. Whoever Lifneim means, whatever is Dashra Lifneim, there's no difference between male and female in terms of Lifneim. So if Lifneim refers to Kosher Dayanim, what is implied by that? That women are included. They can be Ksheris, the Dayonis. You're looking at me like I just came out of the 21st century. Taisus quotes such a possibility. Taisus says that if you just put the two Gemaras together, that's what the conclusion that you draw. So Taisus says, no, that's not a slam dunk either. No, nobody saw this. It's all in the Taisus. So Taisa says, no, not necessarily. So I don't put the Taisa Rosh on. Taisa Rosh says, no, you can be Deicha Deraya. Now, the word Lifneim clearly has a dual meaning. Because forget about the question of women, just the way the Gemara is taking the word Lifneim is totally different. In Gittin Peches, the Gemara is interpreting as Lifneim as the people who are judging the case. The Gemara in Baba Kama Tezvav is talking about not the people who are judging the case, but rather the people who are in the case, the litigants themselves. Because the Mishnah says in Baba Kama that the dinim of the Zik, it apply to men and women equally. If you break a woman's nose, you have to pay her also. If you break a woman's window, you have to pay her. She breaks your window, she has to pay you. There's no difference excuse it. Whether or not mitzvah is about grammar, that there are differences in men and women. But the differences in halacha between men and women in terms of dinim avodas are basically non-existent. So the Baba Kama after Tzvav, the Gemara is taking the Fneim as referring to the Balei Dinim. Whereas the Gemara in Kid Peches is taking it as referring to the Dayonim. So anyway, there's a discrepancy in how we're interpreting the pasuk. So the Taisa Rosh writes, "Sa'a briska Torah." There are two meanings of the pasuk. That the Taisa Rosh is explaining to us that a Kodesh Baruch Hu writes a word, writes a phrase, writes a pasuk that has many, many different layers of meanings. So there are two different halachas that are merumazim in this pasuk. One set of dinim is referring to who is sitting on the case. Eilas tefalas shetos lefrem, who could be a kosher dayan. And the other set of dim is referring to a shetas lefem, who's going to be sitting in as litigants. So it says that there's a rush. Just because in the drasha of the litigants, we equate men to women, doesn't mean in the drasha of dayanim we equate men to women. They're two different sugyas, two different bashas. So you can't bring a raya from one gemara to the other. These are, no matter what, how you slice, forget the women for a second. These are different bashas, different sugyas, the gamri. One's by dim, one's by dayanim. So therefore, this Gemara, these two Gemaras between Gittin and Vakam is not a dead giveaway either. So a combination of all the Gemaras, we have nothing to go on. We have a Mishnah Nida that we thought was a Raya, that women are psulos, some Rishonim kvetched out of that. We have the Gemara and Vakam and Gittin that we thought was a Raya, that women are ksheiros, some Rishonim kvetched out of that. So at the end of the day, we have nowhere to go. At the end of the day, we have Taisus throws the hands up, they're not sure what the din is. One day Taisus says no, one day Taisus says maybe yeah. We can't tell one with the other what the din is. So we failed in Maseches Gittin, we failed in Maseches Bebekam, we failed in Maseches Nida. Where do we go from here? We still have Baruch Hashem, we have another 60 Maseches left. Where do we go? We're still looking, searching. We're not going to find the slam dunk. There is no Gemara about this black and white. That's why the Rishonim are discussing it. What Gemara do we turn to next? That's the question. That's today. That's what today. This was just an introduction. This is where today's Shia begins. So the Gemara that becomes the most pivotal of all the Gemaras is a Gemara in Yevamos. One of the most vaguest, ambiguous statements in Shas. Gemara in the fifth of the Rebbe comes, Yevamos Mem Hamid Beis. Hahuda v'korle bar Amayosa. There was a fellow who people were calling him names. People were making fun of him. They're saying, yeah, you're the son of a Goya. Your mother's not Jewish. You know, ranking out his mother. Like in the Nuvolim do. They say bad things about a person's mother. Like, yeah, your mother's a Sheikh, your mother's not Jewish. So, was there any truth to that story? A teeny bit of truth to that story. That actually the person's mother had been with Kayeres, but she hadn't quite done it properly. There was taka pickbook. This wasn't just them. They were just being that nice on the street and you're making fun of his mother. It means there was something fishy about her Kayeres. So the Shaila came to Ravasi, Amr Ravasi, Milo Tavlu Nidusa. Ravasi was a question mark. The Gemara does that punctuation marks, but in Bar Ilan they put Quran. Milo Tavlu Nidusa? That's not a question. Milo Tavlu Nidusa? So what do you mean there was something wrong with the Gavers? I don't understand, said Ravasi. She is a very, very religious woman. She is saying Tehillim every day. She's, she's very, very religious. She's smacked it on everything. I'm trying to think, what else does she do all day? So she dresses very tzniyastik. She,
Yosha.
Wow, that's already a whole other level, okay? So, that's a sign of being from. That's a sign that you keep the Torah. Okay? So, so people are told to do so. So she's not, doesn't, she was going to mikvah. That's Rav Asi's response was. So all these guys are ranking out this guy. Ah, you see, this guy, his mother's not Jewish because the Geirus was a faulty Geirus. I said, what do you mean? His mother goes to the mikvah. She's a nida every month. She goes to the mikvah. So therefore, everything's hunky-dory. As we said before, just hunky-dory. I mean, how does Rav Asi's statement address what the concern was? So she went to the mikvah because she's a nida. Whoop-de-doo. Therefore what? So there's a major, major machlokes of Yishayim how to understand Pshat and Rav Asi's cryptic statement. One pshat is that Rav Asi is saying that true, her original tefillah l'shem geirus, which was usually necessary, usually the din is, the Gemara is that from Sukkim, that a woman has to go to the mikvah, a man has to go to the mikvah north to complete the geirus. That original geirus was taka faulty. For some reason, we don't exactly sure why. That original geirus was taka questionable. But she's gone to the mikvah since then. So let this going to the mikvah since then count as a tefillah geirus. And therefore, presumably she went to the mikvah before this kid was conceived. So this boy in question is a full-fledged Jew because his mother went to the mikvah, but Torah's tefillah nida, which is counting as a tefillah geirus. That's the simple pshat of the Gemara. That's a simple pshat. That's the complicated pshat. There are so many pieces of the puzzle that are missing. Anyone just want to rattle off quickly what some of the pieces of the puzzle are? So, first of all, don't you need Dayanim for Geirus? Number two, what else? Kavanah is a problem here, maybe. What else? Usually women go to the mikvah at night. Generally, Geirus is supposed to be in the daytime. I can think of at least three problems with reading the Gemara this way. So there's a whole other way of reading this Gemara. The Rambam looked at this Gemara and said, the Gemara cannot possibly mean what it says. There's not a chance the Gemara means what it says. That the tefillas nida is the tefillas geirus. Where's the kavana? Where's the yayin? Where's the bezim? There are too many problems here. Anyone know how the Rambam read this Gemara? So the Rambam says that the tefillas nidos is not the geirus. It's not the sibas ha geirus. What is it? It's the simon. It's the raya that there must have been another geirus in the past. We have some kind of a pickbook about this woman. We're not quite sure. But someone's raising a red flag. We can't find the Ksav Geirus. We can't find the Edom. We can't find the rabbi. The rabbi died. The Edom died. No one has any dach. But Gavalt. So Rav Asi said, listen, you have this woman. She's so tzaddik. She's going to the mikveh every month. For sure. She's from. She's going to the Taz Mishpacha. Versteinzach. Milo Tavla Lidusa. If she's Tavelas Lidusa, there's a Rai. She must be Miss Kairos at one point in the past. And therefore, don't leave this kid alone. We can assume. Tosvada, this kid is Jewish. That's a horse with a different color. That is legamre different. That is so conceptually different. This is almost like Edus the Kiva Dover, Edus the Bira Dover kind of a thing. According to the Rambam, this is a Bira Dover. According to the other Rishon, this is the Kiva. This is the Geirus. This is good for the Geirus. How do we know the Rambam learned Pshat in the Gemara like this? Anyone know? Anyone have a Rambam? Oh, did I put the Rambam in the Rambam Kavitz? Did you put it in the Rambam Kavitz? You have a Rambam Bira and Ilchus? And Ilchus, Yisurah Bira and Kedusha, Sefer Kedusha. I put it on. Where is it? Oh, I did put it on, you're right. No, actually, that's the... Yeah, I did. It's the second one. It's a test. Okay. So now it's on the 10th of the Rambam Kemis. How do I know that the Rambam learned Pshat in the Gemara this way? I did not zoichet to go to Cairo to learn the Shiva the Rambam. The Rambam never called me to tell me his Pshat in the Gemara. The Gemara never tells me. The Rambam supposedly was going to write a Sefer to explain where he got all this Pesachim from. There's the Gemara and the Rambam. The biggest problem in learning the Rambam is that there's a missing piece to the puzzle. All the other Rishonim, let's say you read the Rif, so you know exactly where the Rif got what he said. He tells you, this is what says the Gemara, this is why I'm passing what I'm saying, this is how I learn Pshat in the Gemara, and this is why I'm saying what I'm saying. The Rosh tells you exactly, this is what says the Gemara, this is why I'm saying, this is how I learn Pshat in the Gemara, this is why I'm saying what I'm saying. The Rambam was one of the three pillars of Psach Halacha. He never tells you why he's saying what he's saying. There's a missing piece. The Rambam supposedly, I don't know whether the Rambam himself wrote this or others wrote that the Rambam was planning on writing such a Sefer, whether he did or did not, or got lost, we're not sure, but nice if we don't have it. So that whole missing piece of Gemara Zok Tazoy, the Rambam Zok Tazoy, is totally missing. That is why there's been more Torahs written on the Rambam than any other Rishon, because to fill in that gap. So the Magen Mishnah, the Gesa Mishnah, the Mishnah Melech, and then the Yar Sameach, and then Reb Chaim, and the Shammah, for the last 800 years, 900 years, 1,000 years, everyone's been trying to fill in that missing piece as to where the Rambam got from the Gemara. So here, the Rambam didn't tell me how we got it, but I know for a fact the Rambam did not learn Pshat like Tosfos. How do I know? I read the Rambam. The Rambam in the 10th of the Rambam comes halacha tes. Giyeres shera'inu anu heges bedach Yisrael tamid kigon shetipol didasa So the Rambam is obviously has his eye on that Gemara. The Rambam is writing in his beautiful, poetic, you know, Mishnah Hebrew. He's describing, he's paraphrasing Rav Asi's statement, don't be able to do so, putting it into Hebrew. Putting it into to words of Halacha. Because you tip over the Dosa. And then what does the Rambam say? V'tafish tru me soso. All of a sudden, the Rambam's talking about she's baking cookies. She's baking challahs. And she's mafish challah. Stop. Hold the phone. According to Tosis, echpatli in the slightest bit whether this woman bakes challahs, whether she buys challahs from the store or not. What does it matter to me whether she bakes challah and mafish challah? According to Tosis, what is the punchline of Rav Asi's statement? This tefillah b'mikvah is this tefillah b'mikvah shei midos, notwithstanding the fact that it's by Yoy and by Lila, notwithstanding the fact that it's no based in, is this tefillah without kavan, is this going to count as tefillah skaters or not? That's the only issue according to Tosis. According to the Rambam, why are you hacking the chaita about baking challah? And the Rambam doesn't stop. V'chayay tzipazah. Adin nehegis b'dech Yisroel. So now, give me some examples. Come on, give me some good examples. Give me some good examples. She's dressed appropriately, right? She's saying Tehillim all day, right? She's driving carpool to her kids to school. All the things that a good Jewish woman, you know, says. She goes to sister events, you know. She's in the, you're doing, you know, PTA, you know. That's all, you know. She's all the Dach Yisrael Talmid. Ram says, good, we're good to go. Last I checked, going to a sister event is not a Maisa Gavers. I don't think saying Tehillim is a Maisa Gavers. I don't think wearing a Shayla is a Maisa Gavers. Maisa Gavers for a woman is Tehillim b'mikvah, but that's it. Ad kan v'lo yesu. What's the Rambam? How can you share? I can tell you about, he's giving you her resume. Oh, Shidduch Rei, she's married already. This is her resume, her child's Shidduch resume. You gotta know what the mother does. So it stands on the line. First line, it says what the person does, then it says what the parents do, what the grandparents, the great-grandparents, Al Ad Meshe Abena, Ad Yaakov Avinu, what they do. So it says, this is what the woman does. It says the woman went to school, and the woman went this, and the woman went to BJJ. Not only did she go to BJJ, the mother went to BJJ, and the mother is the Heges B'dach Yisrael Tomid. She's Bafish Chal every week. She has to buy bakery stuff. The Mishabur says, what an avalon is, people who buy the bakeries, they don't bake their own challahs. Okay, a lot of things. All of Myla's Tavis. She says, Tillim fish, she's Tillim every day. She's on in this Vada Musar, and she's that Vada Musar, and all the good Zachin. What in the world have to do with it? She's Jewish. She could be a Goya and still go to the Vada Musar. What have to do with anything? So clearly the Rambam's talking a different language. What's the Rambam talking about? This is not the Gairus, this is what? This is the Sim, and this is the proof that she's Jewish. Most non-Jewish women are not in the Vada Musar, and they're not wearing shetels, and they're not doing all the good things. Goyim don't do those things. There's a riot that this woman must have converted. Sometime in the past, she must have gone to a very, very legitimate rabbi and got a good Gairus, and the fact that she can't find the paperwork, so she's careless in her paperwork. But Lamaisa, she's Jewish. From the fact that the Rambam threw in Mafish Chalav Yisosa and V'chayetiv is there, there's a Raya Mushin al Tshuva, the Rambam did not make a shot like the first group of Rishonim. And rightfully so, because the first group of Rishonim have to solve the Kavana issues, the Dayanim issues, the Laila issues, so many peckles of issues, the Rambam had a different shot. But Rabbi Yisrael, notwithstanding the Rambam, most of the Rishonim did not learn that way. Tais and the Rosh and all the other Gedolei Rishonim did not learn the Gemara like the Rambam. They learned the Gemara Kipshuto like the first shot. Milo totally. So means this is it. There's no kavana. Come on. She wants to be Jewish. That's kavana. She's going to the mikvah to be tahor labayla. It means she wants to be Jewish. That's also considered to be kavana. Kavana doesn't mean you have to be mani luchos shem geiros. I want to be Jewish. This is part of being Jewish. It's called the kavana. Also, who cares? That doesn't bother me.
Why is the rabbin at the end? He doesn't accept it for Dabash Be'er.
That's a different story, because the Gemara seems to say that in order to get married, the stakes are much higher. It means, you want to get married? That are yichus, and then we start to dig a little bit deeper. So Rabbi say,
she's married to a
Kohen. She better not be married to a Kohen. Gyor's getting married to a Kohen. So Rabbi say, we're going to put the Rambam in the back burner, because most of the Rishonim didn't go down that route. We're going to take the Gemara, that this is the Gairus. So all the Rishonim Pe'achot ask, if this is the Gairus, we got a huge, huge problem. I'm Rabbi Yechanan, Gemara Yubamis. Ger, Tzara Shloisha. I didn't put on the Gemara, it's so obvious. All the Rishonim asking, I'm Rabbi Yechanan, Tzara Shloisha. Mishpat Kshibbeh. The Torah says the word mishpat actually in more than one place about geres mishpat chizachem and yarem reitchem. Kum the Teshuvah Ben says geres a shleisha mishpat ksivbe. Tan Rabbanan ger shen is gai ben olav en atzmai ein a ger finished. The geres is batla mevutla shavla kai mederaisa geres a shleisha mishpat ksivbe. So all the rishonim minus the Rambam say, hey, wait a second. If geres a shleisha mishpat ksivbe, since when does a woman go to the mikvah in the presence of three dayanim? Unheard of. Woman's going to the mikvah for tefillas nidus? Are you crazy? With the three dayanim present and a tefillas nida. That's the bomb kasha. It's such a profound kasha. Taisus gives his kasha. We spoke about this Taisus in the previous sugya. Taisus gives what they consider to be the two official answers to this kasha. What are the two official answers of Taisus? Who remembers? Says the Rambam says Tema the sixth amount of kindness. Do you have the comment to get to Shleisha? So Tosis gives what's probably the most popular answer, the easiest to understand. The fifth line of Yishlem, the high demeanor in Shleisha like Kabbalah said mitzvahs lola tevila. Tosis says there are multiple stages, multiple parts of the process of Gairus. Gairus doesn't just happen just like that. All of those geirus is based on one basic premise. It's a gemara that says krisus daftes. Torah speaks about geirus many, many times. The Torah says kachem kageir l'treshem. The basic premise of geirus is that geirim are like Jews. The Torah says mishpat echad yalachem, like geir ezrach oretz. The Torah says a multiple aladinim. The whole din of Torah geirus to wear tefillin, geir kibum kashinish, geir mesar faminyan, geir kibum malteket. Geirim are the same as Jews, just about 99.99% din of Torah. Not only are geirim the same as regular born Jews, the process how you become a geir is the same way we became Jewish. Kachem kageir, the way you entered into the bris, you became Jewish. You, the regular Ezra Chorez, you regular born Jews became Jewish. That's how geirim become Jewish. How did regular born Jews become Jewish? How did I become Jewish? My mother was Jewish. How did she become Jewish? Her mother was Jewish. Somebody had to become Jewish at some point. Adam Arisha was not Jewish. Noach was not Jewish. Abavir was not born Jewish. So what happened exactly? When was the moment in time when we passed that threshold to become full-fledged Kedushas Yisrael? What's the answer? At Har Sinai. So what did we do at Har Sinai? What process was necessary for us at Har Sinai that made us Jewish? So you open up the Chumash Parshas Yisro and you start fiddling around and try to see what happened exactly. What procedures were necessary to cross over that threshold? So you may need a drop of help from Tosh about Pen this way. So comes the Gemara Yevamos and says, Mila. Where was Mila? It's not even mentioned in Parshas Yisro. Why wasn't it mentioned in Parshas Yisro? It was mentioned or alluded to back at Parshas Bo. What was told to Klai Yisrael in Parshas Bo? Korban Pesach. And what Parsha was given to them? Kol Orel. Nobody's allowed to participate in Korban Pesach if you're an Orel. What does that mean? Korban Pesach was the beginning, was the first korban brought by who? By Klai Yisrael. This was the transformation. Korban Pesach was the becoming, the first step in becoming Jewish. And the first step becoming Jewish necessitated kol oral yechol. You know why it oral yechol? Because kol ben yechol yechol. Because people who are goyim, who are not really part of the tribe, can eat korban pesach. So the mila that was done, many, many Jews in Mitzrayim had not had a mila. For many, many years, the Jews had become lax in fulfilling mila, except for Shevet Levi. They were stuck to the guns, briska yinzayru. But most of the Jewish people did not have milas for hundreds of years already. So Kodesh Baruch Hu said to Klaus, well, listen, you guys want to leave Mitzrayim? You want to eat a Korban Pesach? You want to become part of this new Am that's emerging? First is Kol Oral Yechol Bo, you have to have a Bris Mila. So the Gittar Shema Pen interprets that Bris Mila Mitzrayim was a Mila Shem Geirus. It wasn't just a meal to enable them to stop the Korban Pesach. That was part of becoming Jewish. Look at Parshat Yishlach. What did Shimon Velegi, what did they tell Chamor and Shechem? I mean, they said it, B'mirma, but what they said was the truth. That what? What they say? You want to become the Am Echad, you want to become part of us. It ain't happening. We're not talking about it until you become Nimaylim. So to become Nimaylim, that's part of becoming part of the Jewish people. So the Gemara in Krisos Daftes interprets the Psukim Kalorba, Yelayechod Bay, in Pashas Bo, as being the Tchilas Ageiros. it was such necessity of Geirus that the Ramban in Yavam says a very fascinating question. Ramban says, if that Geirus was necessary to be Machnas of the Kedusha, what about Shevet Levi? Shevet Levi were Brischa Yintzeru. So the Rambam in Yichas Yisrubiya quotes the Medrash from Chazal that says that Shevet Levi kept the Mila all those years. Even in Mitzrayim, the dark days of Mitzrayim, they will maul their kids. So the Ramban has to Lama Shekasha. Right, the Chassid Misnagid story, right? The Chassid looks at this Medrash and says, Klal Yisrael, the Shevet Levi, the Heilige, Heilige Shevet Levi, lo poskim, losim, imenu, brishayin, and tayru, they were zay chazayin, to keep the bila, they kept the torch alive, ali yorin, and it's right. That's how Chassid looks at that Medrash. What does the Misnagid say? Wait a second. When it came time for the Geirus process to begin, Beitzis Mitzrayim, Shevet Levi, how'd they do it? How did they do a Milo Shem Geirus? Fiz the Milo Shem Geirus! Can you imagine the Chassid putting Shevet Levi up on the pedestal and the Mistagas say, what do you mean? The Chassid Zayin, who are any Levium here? The Levi Jerome. All these years, my shit, remember you were Levi? Okay, I guess we don't have a Shachas again too often, right? So, I have a challenge for you. Your Alta Zayda, Dairin Geirus back, was a Levi, had to become Jewish. He didn't have a Milo. His bila was done as a little baby at 8 years old, 8 days old, Mitzrayim, Dapaturis Geirus. You know which shtakim misnagid is the kash to the Ramban? The Ramban was a shtakim. He was a big makubah. He was a shtakim misnagid. His heart and soul was misnagid. So the Ramban asked the kash. He says, I understand. How did the Bnei Levi become Jewish? The Ramban has two answers. I have another two answers to the Ramban. Thanks, Ramban. The Ramban gives two answers. One answer, he says, is that Enochinami, they must have had the toughest numbers. It must have had a substitute meal. It must have drawn a little bit of blood to his tempers. Ejish Lama Zakh the Ramban. The Milas Yisrael that was done can double as the Milas Geirus. Two Chidusha Tairef in Ramban. When you learn Sigis and Yavams, you gotta work on that Ramban. Not for now. So that was the first step. That was the Mila. Where was the Tevila as a part of the Geirus process? That's easier to find, right? Where does it say that?
Torah.
What does it say in the Chumash? Sprinkle water. Nothing about sprinkling water. What does it say in the Chumash?
Go back to their homes.
Anyone learned Pashas Yisro recently? Any Balkaris? Chipsu simla. It says, go wash your clothing. Like, but what does wash your clothing mean? Type your clothing. Ma'adak, they had a time with their clothing. They didn't have to be time with themselves. For sure they had a time with themselves. That's actually in the Gemara Yevamos. The Gemara says that, as days increases. But, nah, it's not a good raya. No, it's not a good raya. Or is it not a good raya? Why do you think Chipsus, because Simul Seicha means they went to the mikvah? They put their camera in the mikvah. Maybe it means they sent their clothes to the dry cleaner. It just means they shouldn't come to Matan Torah. It looks like a wreck. The guy's going to come to Matan Torah with a filthy shirt and the dirty pants. So the Torah said, the Moshe Rabbeinu got a tzavah from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, go to the cleaner, go do your laundry. That's all the Chisuv L'Seicha means. It's do your laundry. It doesn't mean go to the mikvah. What's the Yitzhak, right? There's no raya. So how do you know they went to the mikvah? Oh, now Jeremy tells me a story. Because the Pesukim say in Parashas Mishpatim, which is telling over again part of the story of Matan Torah. In the Yedepash Mishpatim, it says that Moshe Rabbeinu took some of the dam and he sprinkled it on the people. So the Gemara says, Gemire, we have a tradition. Whenever something is sprinkled on a person, it always goes about with the tefillah. Where do we ever find sprinkling on people? Where are there dinim of sprinkling on people? Paradum is sprinkling on people. But the Mitzvah is a little bit of sprinkling. Whenever there's a sprinkling, it always accompanied by a tefillah. So the Gemara says, that's the moment that must have gone to the mikvah. So between you and me, neither of those two did a milu or tefillah before the Tesh B'Chsav, but Zay Shteit and Tesh B'Peh, based on a combination of Psuchav B'Pashas Bon, a combination of that, Kach Nemar Lach Mesina, this din, that milu tefillah, that's the process for Geirus. Then the Gemara throws in a third thing, you need a carbon, because the Ptach of the Psuchav described, the most before Shavuot is the carbon, and then the Gemara says, if you don't have a basic mikdash, so you can Meichel Zadah the carbon. Okay, so for us, we have milu tefillah. So there was a machlekes atanoim in the fourth parak of Yevamos. Everybody agrees that when a person converts, they have to milu tefillah. That was not up for discussion. The only machlekes atanoim was, are both of these processes ma'akeh b'diavad? just because there's a mitzvah for this prospective gear to do these processes doesn't necessarily mean it's ma'akev. Like Marshall Mother Madame by Chalitza, you have to chalitza rikikim tukim, doesn't mean all the process, parts are ma'akev. Which parts of these are ma'akev? So there's a three or like that. So one Tana says, Mila is mamish ma'akev, and you can't become Jewish if you're a male without Mila. And the other day it says, no, Mila's not ma'akev. The tefillah is ma'akev. You become Jewish, and then you have a mitzvah Mila. You better make sure you get Mila. You can be an Oro, you'll be Chayef Koris, but it's not ma'akev in the Gerus. So you have min akotz l'akotz. One Tana says the Mila is critical, one Tana says the tefillah is critical, and the third Tana says what? They're both. I'm Rabbi Yechiran, we pass in command the Yombal, like Rabbi Yasi, ain't no Gerchi, Mo Yisbo. So we pass in both of them. Okay, good, fine. So you need both Mila and tefillah. Then Tosa says, there's something else that you need. Besides Mila tefillah, what else do you need, which is absolutely critical, not negotiable? Most of mitzvahs. So the Gemara always talks about, the Gemara talks about Kibel, you know, Multinus of Mitzvahs and Kalas, the Gemara talks about Kabbalah and Mitzvahs. But the Gemara actually never spells out what the source is. Interesting thing. It never spells out. Vishtei Kabbalah and Mitzvahs. Mila, the Gemara turns the world upside down to find. Tevil, the Gemara turns the world Mamashir and Nachabal upside down to find. Kabbalah and Mitzvahs, the Gemara is silent. So what's the mock on Kabbalah and Mitzvahs? What's the probable answer to that question? I don't need a Gemara to tell me that. That's like, those are Psukkim Zukar Beirav. What's the mock on? Kol Asher di Ber Hashem Naaseh V'Nishmam. Naaseh V'Nishmam. So Pesukim Chumash. V'Naaseh V'Nishmam. What does Naaseh V'Nishmam mean? Kabbalah and Mitzvahs. So the Gemara never even bothered asking the question. It was so move on to Yelok. That's probably what Taisa Sheik is. So Taisa says there are now three components of a Geirus Mizbat Azeb. Mizbat Mikdash had carbon also. Mizbat Azeb we could forego that. So there are three different things that must take place when a person converts. You have to have a Mila. If it's a male, obviously. If it's a female, you have to have just a Mila. If it's a male, you need both. And you have to have Kabbalah and Mitzvahs. And they're all critical to Ma'akev, B'diyev, and other. But Taisa says now we have a Din of Mishpat. Which of these processes require mishpat? So if you would have asked me, I would have said, all of them require mishpat. Lam alom. So Tari says, no. That's not true. Only the parts of the process that make any sense that didn't mishpat, didn't beis, didn't require mishpat. The other parts of the process, what do you need mishpat for? What do you need beis in for? So Tari says, logically says, does it make any sense under the sun that a mila should require a beis din? We have milas every day, at least every Shemir Chamishim is Hurachim. We have milas all the time in Shul. We have Ezen for milas. What is it that is mila that requires a basin? Yeah, cut off the oil and finish, come on. Tevila. People go to the big fall of time. Who needs a basin? What's my Indian basin? Like a mila tevila. So Tais says there's only one part of the Geirus process that Taka makes a lot of sense. What is that? Because what does Kabbalah Mitzvah mean? Well, the mitzvah involves what? It means a hodor and a kavolah. There's a give and take. There's questions and answers. Someone's got to ask this gear, like, are you serious? And somebody has to evaluate and assess his kavolah. That idea of asking questions, giving answers, assessing whether you're telling the truth or not, that's very, very based in kind of material. We find Beis Din does that a lot. Beis Din does that by Kabbalah Seidus. Beis Din does it by Ataras Tadorim. That's the kind of thing that Beis Din does. That's their expertise in asking questions, giving analyzing answers, assessing what people's intent are. So says Taisus, Mila, either you cut off the oil, you didn't cut off the oil. Tevila, you went in the water, you didn't go in the water. What do you need 3 dayanim to sit and assess whether they went into the water? The mikvah later tell you whether they went into the water or not. You're nervous about a never should be up to shine left people assess. It was one Beis Din. Beis Din makes sense by Kabbalah Mitzvah. The Ephatesa says that the whole din of Mishpat Tzivbei was probably only said at the Kabbalah Mitzvah. So Taisus got into a little bit of trouble because the Gemara in Yevamos itself says that we do place 3 dayanim there by the tefillah. So that's a chumrah lechatchilah. But that's not really. That little yes, it's an ace. We throw 3 dayanim there. Why not? Let them finish the job. But the Daraisa make the Ksibbe, says Taisus, it's only on the Kabbalah Mitzvahs. So that solved the world's problems. We'll totally do so. We ask Akasha, where's the Beis Din? So the answer is, where's the Beis Din for? This is the Tefillah, not the Kabbalah Mitzvahs. We could be the Sakhali. Okay, good. Taisus for the second Daraisa wasn't so convinced. Taisus was not so convinced that we have a right to chisel away at the Din of Mishpat. Shteit and Chumash Mishpat, the Geirus, doesn't say anywhere that it's Dafka for the Kabbalah Mitzvahs. This was a good Svara. But every good svara has a counter good svara. The other counter good svara is that no, there's a gossip. You need mishpat. I Mila doesn't need mishpat. Yemilas Yisrael doesn't need mishpat. I Tefilas Nida doesn't need mishpat. Yeah, Tefilas Nida is Tefilas Geirus. So how can you extrapolate from regular Midas, regular Tefilas don't need mishpat, and therefore Geirus doesn't need also? So the Yesh Mefarshim say, no, Liaylam, you need a Beis Din. So now the Yesh Mefarshim are in a pickle. They're in the corner and say, wait a minute, if you need a Beis Din, what is Bilo Tovah Diusa? So it's that Kasha that forced the Yesh Mefarshim to what conclusion? I think we spoke about this once or twice. This is Eidus Yediya, believer Iya. Yediya Sadova, everybody knows, we're Anin Saadeh. So I just want you to appreciate these Yesh Mefarshim. We don't even know who they are. We couldn't even send them a thank you letter to be Makir Tov who they are. We don't never tell us who they are. But it was quite a pshat. You have to put yourself back in some city in France. Where's that city again? Not France, right? Some other city in France. You could be in Orleans. You could be in Paris. You could be in Rumbleboard. Right? You could be in Dampier. You could be in a lot of cities. The Ribi Dampier. A lot of places to go. A lot of cities in France that are sitting around and contemplating this discussion. And it could be maybe it's taking place in Frankfurt also, because the Wabalai Tzitz lived in Germany, so we don't know exactly where this discussion is happening. But the Balei Tzitz are sitting around the table, and they're asking themselves, "Mi lo tov lo nidusa? What's up there? What's up? Chazal mi lo tov lo nidusa? Rabasi is joking. Ram to bishpat, bishpat sirbe." So, we got a letter from somebody sitting in Cairo, the Rambam sitting in Cairo, that said, "No, you misread the whole Gemara. We don't read the Gemara like the Rambam read. Read the Gemara kipshutai. This is dog game. This is not the riot. This is not the girl, who sang Tehillim and signing up for Musavaz. This is it. This is the Tefillah L'Shem Geirus. Not L'Shem Geirus. This is the Tefillah L'Shem Geirus. So the Balei Tzitz says Tefillah Geirus. Kavak Kishrigin. What happened to Dayonim? So you see how Tosis is working. The first day, Tosis says, "No, Zemin for Dor that there's a possibility of having a Geirus without a Beis. That must be what the Gemara meant. This is the Ishkabal Semitzvus." The Tosis went on a limb and said, "Only Kabal Semitzvus." And the Yesh Mefarshim said, "What are you talking about? The Gemara never makes such a distinction." The Yesh Mefarshim said, "You need a Geirus. You need a Beis in Gemara. So where's the Beis in? Yediyah B'Leiriyah." So I understand why the Yesh Mefarshim didn't want to go down the first day. I understand why the first day I didn't want to go down the Yesh Mefarshim. The first day I probably held what? Yediablaria? Who heard? Ever heard of such a thing? The Ktzais? I never heard of the Ktzais. The Ktzais wasn't born yet. But Maishas, Psach about Chov Yisrael. Who ever heard of such a thing? We drink Chov Yisrael in Frankfurt, huh? Yeah, is the drink. Is the drink. We never heard of this kula. So you see that each one of these days in Tosis is loaded with controversy. That's why day number one liked day number one, didn't like day number two. Day number two liked number two, didn't like number one. Tosis was not convinced which of these something's got to give. Otherwise, you're left with a ridiculous Gemara that says, "Milton, only do so." The Rambam's Prat, was not on the radar screen in the Balei Tzitz.
I think it was the Rosh Bava, but I'm not 100% certain when we were doing Pesachim. You said it's similar to like when someone does Bittul in their house and they're not in front of everyone. You said it's like Piknei Kol HaOlam.
Oh, we said there were some Rishonim who say that when you do a Bittul Shal Mitzvah, Hefke Shal Mitzvah, maybe you don't need a Beis Din. You have a Beis Din, everybody knows.
The whole world,
maybe,
yeah.
Maybe. So, Rabbi Sai, each of these Pshat in the Gemara is very, very challenging. The Rambam's pshat is very, very mechudish. The first day of Tosis is mechudish. The second day, the Yesh Mefarshim is mechudish. Every pshat is mechudish. But the Eila Gabe Kulam is a pshat that appears in the Mordechai. Tosis alludes to this and rejects it outright, but it appears in the Mordechai. He calls it from Rabbeinu Yontif. Everyone saw it? Rabbeinu Yontif? Don't know it's Rabbeinu Yontif? Right? Who was Rabbeinu Yontif? I know Rabbeinu Yontif was.
Great grandson of Rashi. Grandson of the Rivan.
Pretty impressive. Well, how'd you know that?
Wikipedia.
Where do you live?
France. I don't
know where France is. In Joigny, the Rabbi Yotam in Joigny, I think he was from. Was he the same one who eventually moved to York? Can you tell me that? You don't know that. One of the Balei Tzitz lived in New York, Rabbi Yotam. I don't know if it was the same one or not. I cannot tell you. The one who lived in New York was the one who died at Kiddush Hashem in the Kiddush of York. I don't know whether this was the same. What was it say?
Of
Joigny. He was in Joigny. Did he go to York later?
Yeah.
He did go to York.
York,
right? And he was killed at Kiddush Hashem in York?
Yeah.
Yes, the same one. Okay. So Rabbeinu Yontif was from the Kiddush of York. Anyone here from England? No. In England, Adayim Ezeh, they still say Kina at the end of Tisha B'Av, right before Elitzion, they say a special Kina that was composed for the Kiddush of York. So in England, they say that. For many years in America, people used to say that kinnah. You want to know why? because the first of the English kinnis that was ever heard of by Abraham Rosenfeld, the pre before Art School was anyone's was even born. So there was a English kinnis that was put out by a man, Rabbi Avram of Rosenfeld from England, and he translated all the kinnis into English, and that's the only one that was in English. Everyone used that kinnis, but he was from England. So he just put in the standard English kinnis. So there were people in America saying the kinnis for the Kedusha Yor for many, many years. Then when Art School printed their kinnis, so they took it out. They said, because in America, no one in other places in Eastern, no one ever had this minik to say this kinnis. It was an English thing. So then they started to put in the kinnis by Rav Schwab and by the Rebbe, the ones that became the more popular ones. But when I was a kid, so we used to say the kinnis for the Kedusha Yor. So these are many others if he was a Rav. You know the story, no? Everyone knows the famous story. Chalach Talah wrote the story. You know the story about the Kedusha Yorik? So the Kedusha Yorik Nemuch was a whole Jewish community, Old York in England, that were given the choice either to all become Christians or to, they would all be killed. And they chose to be, they were all killed al Kiddush Hashem. So you're still reading about the Kedusha Yorik? It's still online. So you get the story about the church, about the...
Yeah, they're like all... They were all in this castle.
Right, they burnt the castle.
They were like right before like Shabbos, before Shabbos Gadol.
They were all killed in the... Whatever. Yeah. So, but the end of the story, does it say about the church? The story that happened 800 years later. So apparently somebody 800 years later, there was a yeshiva bachar I think he was switching planes or something. I don't know. He was flying like from London to Gateshead or something. I don't know exactly where York is exactly. It's something about some Shira Bachar switching trains or planes. I don't know what the details were. And he was in York and he was stuck for a couple of hours in York. So he was somehow he got wind of something. I forgot all the details of the story. But the kids in Imrutz, they were doing some excavation or building something in York, and they came across some bones in York, and they suspected that these bones were from the Kedusha, who never knew, I think they were never put Lekvura, but they mamash. So somehow in this Galpul Advarim, that they were able to arrange a whole Kvura for these bones, that they suspected these were from the Kedusha from York from 800 years ago. So apparently, right after these bones were brought Lekvura, so there was a thunder and lightning storm. And apparently there's a bolt of lightning hit the church in New York, and it caused a fire in the church in New York. Am I right? Is this part of the story?
I think Remy knows more than that.
I don't know. Yeah, this story. So apparently it was said that that finally Hashem Yikom Damam, that finally when the bones were brought to Kvura, so Hashem Baruch Hu settled the score with the Crusaders from the Muvalim from New York. Anyway, so Ben Yomtif, who was Abba Tosis, was the Rav. He was the Rav of New York. He was the Rav. He had gone from Uni to York, and he became the Rav. He was killed by Kiddush Hashem. So we built up all the drama. We don't know his answer. So hopefully, we'll mention tomorrow. We'll try to see what he, before they were never, before they killed the Kiddush Hashem, he was learning the Sisis. He was learning the Sugi. He tried to figure out what this Kasha was. Okay. We continue tomorrow.
Yeah.